Hey everyone, Frosty here. Real quick before we get into the episode, I just want to let you guys know about an awesome coffee company, Triple Crown Coffee. It's a charity-based coffee company in Boston, Massachusetts. It's dedicated to the craft of fine coffee and the preservation of our national trails. Triple Crown Coffee produces 3 very distinct roasts. Each one of them is named after a long-distance hiking trail of the Triple Crown of Hiking, and all proceeds of sales from each roast are donated to a 501c3 nonprofit in order to preserve and protect the hiking trails. The coffee is fantastic. The man who owns it's fantastic as well, a personal friend of mine. The Triple Crown refers to an award given out by the American Long Distance Hiking Association for a hiker that has completed the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Crest, and the Continental Divide trails. So it's awesome. Chris, the owner, he's done all 3 of those. That's why he started this company. And again, fantastic coffee, all of it's charity-based. You guys should definitely go ahead and give it a try. Go ahead to triplecrowncoffee.com, buy some bags, let Chris know how great the coffee is, and keep in mind to protect your national scenic trails.
I just know W key. Keeps me moving.
No, I'm fun. Just W keying this, dude.
You got a W key, you got this, bud.
Only one thing to do, W key.
That's it, I got a W key. I got a W key.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Another episode of the W Key Podcast coming at you guys. We're excited to be here. There's a lot going on in the streaming world, or not necessarily streaming world. That is true, but there's a lot going on in the gaming world as well. So we are excited for tonight. I hope you guys' Mondays are doing or going well, have went well. If you're still in it, I apologize. That sucks. But why not spend, you know, a couple hours with us hanging out, talking about video games? It's going to be a good time. If you haven't already, check out our new YouTube video that came out today. We talk about the PKM and why it's a baller weapon to use in Warzone. I don't want to give away too much because that's what the video is about. So head over to our YouTube channel and check it out.
Is it the new king? Click to find out.
Is it? That is the question mark. So we're just going to hop right in. Thanks for everyone who's joining us live on Twitch or YouTube. And then obviously thank you for everyone who's going to be listening to this when we post it on Wednesday. We're very happy that you guys are joining us, that you guys choose to put us in your ears. My name is Josh, a.k.a. Jay Frosty. Below me is my brother, trusty co-host, Technique, a.k.a. Matt. And we're just going to do the damn thing.
Let's get into it.
Into the games.
I choose you. Podcast stuff.
So I thought this was pretty interesting. We don't generally talk about legal battles all that often on the podcast. So when I saw this, I was kind of instantly like, I think anyone's really talking about it. It's kind of the talk of the town for the most part. Again, you know, the news cycle in gaming is just like the news cycle in the real world as well. It just goes. It's like, you know, 48 hours, things are huge for 48 hours, and after that, it just drops off. So, we haven't seen a whole lot on this since the story broke. I think Lance on YouTube, if you guys haven't seen him, he's a hilarious skit guy, Lance with 2 L's. He did a skit where he pretended to be, you know, Epic, Apple, Google, and Microsoft, and kind of ripped on like all of these $1 billion companies squabbling over like some penny change, compared to what they're worth overall. Yep. So I thought that was pretty funny because it is true. I mean, they're all worth billions of dollars, and they're literally squabbling over like, 30% of $20. Like, I'm not a math wizard, so I don't know what that is, but I thought it was pretty funny. So if you don't know what we're talking about, Epic is currently suing Apple and Google. Basically, they had Fortnite Mobile. They
installed or added a direct payment to Epic method that's essentially circumvents the normal payment method that would give Apple or Google a cut of that money. So, you know, say it's $20 for 1,000 V-Bucks or whatever it is. I'm assuming it's similar to like what COD Points is.
Yeah, it's like I think it's like $10 for 1,000, kind of like okay. Like a dollar per 100 V-Bucks ish.
So basically, when you do it through the Apple Store or the Google Play Store, you know, add 30% onto that. So, you know, whatever. Again, I'm not a math wizard, so but the cost would be 30% higher than the $10 because that they have to account for the cut that Apple and Google give, which is 30% on any digital goods that are sold in their app store.
So wait, if you're playing Fortnite Mobile, you're paying more for V-Bucks than if you're just playing it on the PC?
Okay. Yep, 100%. Because anything that it gets sold on either of the marketplaces. Gaming,
dude. Yeah.
I know. I mean, I understand. I mean, it's practices that have been in place for as long as the app stores have been around, and all the developers are held subject to it. It's not like anyone gets around it. So,
no.
I mean, that's the hard and fast rule. And everyone who does work on the app stores knows that that's the case. And Epic was just like, fuck it. And burned it up. You know, you buy something on an app store, whether it's Google or Apple, they charge you an extra, they charge the developer, they get 30% cut of whatever the developer makes. So anything you buy essentially costs 30% more because the developers generally will plan for that and include that 30% more in the cost so that they're still making the same amount of money that they would be if they were selling it themselves.
I was going to go look on the App Store because I was saying before, Fortnite never even was on. To me, at least, I downloaded it to my phone and I didn't download it through the App Store. You had to like download it kind of separately online and then you boot it
on the Google Play Store.
It was like never in the store. So like
it was still in like
beta,
I think.
I mean, this was a long time ago, so I guess I've never looked into the store to see if it actually got put into the store. But I remember when I first got Fortnite on my phone, I had to go, which seemed like a very sketchy way to get it to my phone because it wasn't actually in the App Store. So I was wondering if it ever got moved over to the App Store officially or not, but I assume it did because this
I don't know for sure. I know for a fact that it came out, like it came onto the Apple App Store. That's like where it was like first launched.
Yeah.
And then it was like coming to the Google Play Store soon, and you could sign up to get like first beta tester access to it. And so I don't know, and that's about the time I got rid of my Android phone, so I don't know that it actually, I can't confirm that, but it, I mean, based on what's happening, it does sound like it was actually in the Google Play Store because they says the Google Play Store, like Google pulled it from the store. So my assumption is actually in the store. So essentially, so Epic installed a way, basically, if you were to go buy V-Bucks, $10 for 1,000 V-Bucks, you could either choose Apple Pay or direct Epic payment now. And that's what spurred all of this because that was circumventing the 30% cut. That was circumventing Apple's terms of service for being a developer on their app store, essentially. It made V-Bucks cheaper for people. So if you did it that way, you paid 30% less than people who did it through.
By cheaper, you mean just the normal prices people paying
so,
if you're playing on your computer.
Yeah, so normal, compared to what mobile gamers were paying to be before, it was cheaper for mobile gamers. But then they were paying what the rest of us pay for V-Bucks.
I don't know who to root for in this fight because I hate Epic, but at the same time, it's just like, why don't you just pay it? Like, you agreed to it, just pay it. But at the same time, I'm like, Apple, give it to Epic. They suck ass and have enough money anyways. Take it from them. So I honestly think this is two just spoiled children sitting here, you know, fighting over spilt milk. I don't know who to root for. I don't know who I want to win from this whole thing.
I don't either. And I mean, I think inevitably the app stores are going to win. So Google and Apple.
Well, I assume so, just because they're two of the biggest companies in the world. So,
well, there's that, but I think just because it's the terms of service and every developer on the platform is held to that. It wasn't a unique thing for Epic. You know, it wasn't like every other developer was charged 5%.
When you get in on their store, you know what you got to do.
So a lot of, and this is, you know, this is the extent of my legal knowledge. A lot of things are set by precedent. You know, a lot of legal cases and a lot of things can be won or lost based on precedent. Is there a precedent of this? And yes, the precedent has been set for how many years Apple's been doing business with an app store now. Every developer has been held to that 30% requirement. So at this point, the precedent's there. I don't think Epic's going to win it. It is what it is, but
yeah,
I don't necessarily know that I'd want Epic to win either. Yeah. Cause like you said, I hate Epic. They're a bunch of trash bags anyways.
Yeah, and they just want a bunch of money. So the only reason they did this is because like, oh, screw this. I'm going to look for some back door so I can make more money, which I guess if I look at it that way, I'm going to say, let's go app stores just because they just all of a sudden decide, oh, I don't want to pay, you know, them any money. Let's just do this randomly and see what happens, which is Epic's terrible way of going about it. But
I know.
Did they think they're not going to notice? Like, hey, let's just sneak this in there and see what happens, see if they catch us.
So they filed like the court documents literally like the day of that they got pulled. So all of that was already prepared. They had to have had all of those documents prepared, ready to go. So they knew exactly what they were doing and they knew exactly what was going to happen. So the balls on those people is just to
let's try to not give these massive corporations money. I'd be scared shitless going into that war, but
I guess they got confidence. Epic thinks they rule the world with their army of 12-year-old Fortnite fans. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Send out the 12-year-olds.
I know. So Apple pulled their Fortnite mobile, and then Google followed suit shortly after and pulled Fortnite mobile from their store as well. Obviously, Epic is suing both companies. We'll see how that turns out, but Epic released the hashtag free Fortnite event, and the commercial or the in-game like commercial, whatever it was, mirrored a very old Apple commercial from back in like the 80s, I think early 90s, where, you know, the person's running down, it's all black and white, and the person's running down, the person's in color, throws the hammer into the TV and bursts the TV, and, you know, essentially that
breaking
commercial
from their chains.
Yeah, essentially that commercial that commercial that Apple made back in the day was basically a play on 1984, which they mentioned in the Epic commercial as well, the George Orwell novel 1984, which is a book about a futuristic world where there is no freedom and Big Brother's always watching. So it's like one of those dystopian novels.
Yeah.
So obviously the undertones are there. Like, you can tell like Epic's like, free us from Apple, the Big Brother, like, you know, we have no freedom being on the App Store. And it's like, but yeah, every other million of app that's on there, what makes you special?
Side where I kind of am like, yeah, Epic, you kind of are fighting for the little man. But at the same time, like you said, like, you go into this knowing what you have to pay them. So yeah, it's not because they're out of nowhere saying, hey, we're going to keep you down and take your money. Ha ha ha. You didn't know this is happening. You knew what was happening. So
we hoodwinked you. We pulled the bag over your head. Like, God damn it, Apple, you got us again.
And like you said before too, this whole thing is just LOL because it is
just spoiled rich kids squabbling over like $20.
It's like nothing compared to them. It's such little money. I mean, I guess if you think, oh, well, all the people will add up after a while, but even still, that's nothing compared to what they make as companies. So it's just,
I mean, I would say if anything, like, you know, Epic potentially woke the sleeping beast. I mean, they do not have the money to compete with Apple or Google.
Are they
going to
lose money trying to fight this case?
Potentially.
In the end, they might win, but getting there, they spent all the money on this legal stuff that we won, but we're $1 billion in debt for all the stuff we had to pay.
I mean, it's a possibility because I mean.
Then they jack the V-Buck prices up even more. So, sorry, we need to get our cash back, dudes.
Because, Epic's got a lot of money from Fortnite, sure, but, they don't have Apple money. And
no.
And they definitely don't have Google money.
At all.
Nope. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it comes out. Because, I mean, like I said, the precedent set the guidelines for the percentages, the 30% guideline applies to every developer on the platform. Mm-hmm. So it isn't like Apple and Google were singling out Epic and charging them more. So I don't think they really have a chance. And so, you know, we'll see how it pans out. But, you know, from the very little legal knowledge I have, I would say they probably don't have a good shot of winning. So
if there's any mobile gamer here who's thinking like, oh yay, go Epic because they're saving us money, you could have just gone, you could have beat the whole system to begin with by just download the Epic Launcher onto a laptop and link your accounts, buy anything you want in the store on your computer, and then it'll link to your account on your mobile phone. You can save money that way.
Big brain plays. Matt's here for you. That massive brain in his head. That's a good thought. I didn't even think about that at all.
Well, so. Yeah, I was trying to think of like the common man side of things. Like, where do you think the normal person stands? And they're probably like, "Ooh, yay, Epic, save us money!" But you could just save money by linking your accounts, download it somewhere. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to run the game. Just have it good enough to where you can get to the loading screen, buy what you want, and then you can get out of there.
I don't know if the Epic Launcher, I honestly have not opened the Epic Launcher in like a year or two.
Same.
If the Epic Launcher is anywhere close to what the Blizzard and BattleNet launcher is, I mean, you need like an i7-7700K and a 1080 Ti just for it to open, because it fucks up every time I try to use it on my computer.
I never ran into any issues with Epic's launcher, but yeah, true. If it was a Blizzard problem, you'd be sitting screwed because you wouldn't be able to get that thing to open on anything.
So I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out, and obviously we'll keep you guys up to date. I just thought it was interesting. You know, it's an interesting situation. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of like lawsuit drama in the gaming world since like Tfue was suing FaZe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
for that contract that, stuff.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's some things here. Like we talked about the US Army had their Twitch page a couple weeks ago. So like that was some legal drama too. But you know, I think they backed down right away because they knew that they were fucking up. So there hasn't been anything where like two parties are like, yeah, we're doing this thing and you know, doing the full horse and pony show. So if you guys haven't seen it, Shroud's back on Twitch.
So did we talk about this before? When I was sitting there looking at the outline, I was like, I don't know if we talked about this or not.
We didn't, because he hadn't made his decision last episode we streamed.
I think we mentioned how he had those weird teaser videos, right?
Yeah. It sort of seemed like he was going pro in Valorant, which has yet to be seen. You know, and he had a quick little, right when he came back, obviously he looks like Adam Sandler from Uncut Gems.
Yeah, I was, when I first saw him, I was laughing. She thought my facial hair was bad. I was like, Carl, you gotta look at this dude's facial hair. She's like, oh my God, that is worse.
I know. He came on, I was like, whoa. I was like, Jesus, like, who told him that was a good idea?
I am shrewd. Yeah, I know. Here. Yeah. No offense, Shroud, but does not look good, bud.
I know. Yeah. So he's back on Twitch. You know, he did a little kind of like explainer, like why, you know, people obviously like, why'd you choose Twitch? And he just, you know, Twitch is the big daddy. It's the OG. It's, you know, the best platform, yada, yada, yada. But I wonder how many of these creators actually believe that. You know what I mean? Like, YouTube has some serious upsides and some serious benefit potential. And Doc's obviously killing it on YouTube, numbers wise. I mean, granted, I know he's back, so it's like, we'll see how those numbers hold up, you know, over the next coming months. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's killing it there.
Do you think like he didn't get an offer from YouTube? Like he only got one from Twitch?
I think anyone would have offered Shroud. I think he got offers from all the platforms. I just think that some of these older creators that have been on Twitch for so long, or have been streaming for so long, are just brainwashed to think that Twitch is the best and the only place to be, and they have yet to really look at it in a critical sense, because they don't, you know, all the things that affect, and so this is another thought too, that makes sense too from their perspective, all the things that are negatives about Twitch that affect streamers trying to grow, they don't have to worry about that. You know, the discoverability,
I was about to say, all those things. That's the thing. They don't need to think about anything else, because even if Twitch like starts to fade a little bit or start to die, they're still probably going to be up there making a livable income, and
the people who suffer from a Twitch fade would be the smaller streamers for sure.
Yeah, the top dogs probably won't see much effect from that one. But I was still, always I always think it's funny that he's, whenever he comes back, like, oh, came back to Twitch because it's home, it's this, it's that, it's where we started. Like, if it's home, why'd you leave in the first place? Because you're out there chasing cash. So it's just always funny that they come back and act like they try to make it seem so, like a comeback story. Like, oh yeah, I'm back home, baby. Like, if it's home,
I missed it.
If it's home, if you missed it, you would never have left in the first place.
And you signed a deal for like at least 3 to 5 years on Mixer. So like, you know, unless they somehow knew Mixer was going tits up.
Yeah, unless he knew. So he's like, sure, I'll work 8 months for 10 mil. Let me get in on that real quick. Like,
so I just think, I don't know. I just think like the bigger creators, you know, they don't have to worry about it. Like I said, like as far as like all the issues with Twitch, as far as like discoverability, the interface, how the platform's not really a true social media platform. Like it should be sliding into that. Mm-hmm. They don't have to worry about all of that stuff, which makes sense. But I still think there are so many upsides to YouTube for the bigger creators. You know, all your stuff's in one place.
Yeah. Obviously, stop shop for everything.
Yeah. Obviously, YouTube's got some things they need to work out as far as their user interface and how people find people that are live and a lot of that random stuff. But I think they can easily iron it out. I mean, like I said, look at Doc. You know, his numbers are huge right now. I mean, Courage has had a huge jump in his numbers since being on YouTube. I believe Ray's had a big bump in her numbers. I don't know about big bump, but they've all experienced bumps in numbers. And I do think that one-stop shop situation, you know, being able to have everything you do content-wise video form on one location, I think is really powerful.
Especially because I just think my standpoint as a smaller streamer, everyone says you need to make contents elsewhere and then direct them to your Twitch channel. People are lazy F's out there, so that's a lot of steps for them to like to watch the video and then find where your Twitch link is and then click it. It'd be a lot simpler to if they stumble upon a YouTube video and they like it and I happen to be live at the time, it just on the sidebar says, hey, this guy's also live right now if you want to go watch him. So it's, oh, hey, cool. Let me just click this button and I'm there instead of like, okay, I'm gonna go to his Twitch, I'm gonna go here, I'm gonna do this, that. It's just very simple to have everything all in one place, I think.
No, it is for sure. So, well, you know, he's back. He's playing a lot of Valorant, which, you know, I liked watching Shroud prior, but I don't like Valorant.
Yeah, it's not boring. A good game to watch. I enjoy playing it. I do want to start playing a little bit more. I was on a heater when I was playing the Valorant beta. I legit didn't lose like 5 or 6 matches in a row and I was getting kind of good at it, so I want to get back trying, but watching it is just so boring.
Yeah, I can't even play it. I don't even want to give it another go. I just, it's not my cup of tea. I knew going into it I was never a fan of CSGO or Counter-Strike of any form. I gave it a shot just to see. I was hoping it was more Overwatch than Counter-Strike, but it is definitely more Counter-Strike than Overwatch, which, you know, in my heart of hearts, I knew was going to be the case. And I just, I don't really like it. I don't think I'll ever really play it again. So, I mean, it is what it is. And like I said, Shroud's loving it. I mean, he has a good time playing it. Like his viewership is there for it. You know, people are glad he's back on Twitch.
I always loved him. He's like a great filler for. He'd always be on when like if I stopped watching Tim or someone.
Yeah.
And I wanted to keep watching Twitch, but there's really no one else on. He was just a great filler to always be there. So now, I got my Plan B's there all the time. Now I can turn him back on. But yeah, I need him to start playing something besides.
Prefer him to play the faster shooter games, and because his shot is he's just so
show mechanically off them flicks with fast paced COD.
He's just so mechanically gifted that like that's what I find super interesting, and that's what I really like when I watch him is just watching for those crazy fucking shots because you're like, holy, you know, his PUBG shots, some of it, you know, those a lot of those clips are still like at the top of the pile even now. I mean, even for how long the game's been out, he just some people just can't top it just because he's a fucking freak.
They were just insane. I had because we all played PUBG, we know what it's like, and just to think that someone could do what he did, you know, I was nah, he's cheating, man.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I mean, you know, Ninja still hasn't signed anywhere.
Still just 2 streams, one on Twitch, one on YouTube, and that's it so far.
So, It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, I guess, you know. Obviously, Doc is on YouTube. I made that meme a while ago saying, like, you know, this is Michael Scott's face is like, you know, with that yelling scene where it's like, no. And it was like, you know, when Ninja goes to YouTube, when Shroud goes to YouTube, when Doc goes to YouTube. So far, I guess technically you could say we are 1 for 3 because Doc is technically on YouTube. He doesn't have a contract with them or anything like that, but he's there. And Shroud's back on Twitch, so we missed that one. And we'll see what happens with Ninja, because, I mean, that's a pretty big piece to fall.
I mean, if I had to bet money, I think I said Shroud was, I would have seen Twitch for sure.
Yeah.
Is where he was going to come back. He's just, I don't want to say...
He's a company man.
Yeah, I won't say he's lazy, but I don't think he wants to go through the whole thing of having to go to another platformer and learn it and all this crap. Just come back to what you know and start gaming. He's not really too concerned.
He is lazy. That's why he has the facial hair. He's not super
concerned about his brand. He just wants to like sit and game. So, all right, well, let's just go back to Twitch. I know how to do that. I know how to sit and game and
this
and that. But.
But, you know, it is what it is. You know, he makes the best of it. He makes a lot of money doing it. And, you know, it's best for him. That's fine. You know, I did have, so talking about Twitch as a whole, and we've talked about this before, but, and this isn't really on our outline, so I'm going off track.
He's going wild.
30 minutes in, going off track. So it's interesting with the pandemic, with a lot of people being home, how many, and we've mentioned this a bunch of times before, but how many celebrities from other realms have gotten into streaming? Mm-hmm. It kind of just still blows my mind, and it's just such a disadvantage for everyone else on the platform, I feel like, because, like, you know, they bring in their communities already built, they're skyrocketed up on viewership, like they have no problem getting partnership, which, you know, it is what it is. And we've talked about it in the past, and I don't think they're necessarily taking viewers away from smaller streamers, but, you know, with so many more bigger people getting on, it really, I think, is stressing the lack of discoverability options that Twitch has currently, because you're bringing more streamers to the platform. You're bringing more streamers to the platform, and you're bringing more eyes to the platform with all these other celebrities that have started streaming. But at the same time, you had no discoverability to begin with. So I feel like, you know, the smaller streamers are getting buried under even more people now, which, you know, for better or for worse, it is what it is. I'm still kind of at all, because I feel like every day I get on like Twitter or Instagram and there's some celebrity that I know from somewhere else, and it'll be like, yeah, I'm streaming live, check out my Twitch. I'm like, that person's streaming too? Yeah. Like, everyone's getting on the stream train.
I think, like you say, I don't think it really matters, because the people that they're bringing in probably don't even know what Twitch is. They're just only going there because they know the person and they want to see them. It's like, oh yeah, sure, I'll go check it out. So they're bringing in people that would have never been here anyways. So it's not like they're taking people that are out there waiting to find someone and like, oh, I'll go watch this basketball player or this or that. They're bringing their fan base in, and then their fan base is leaving. So it does suck, because you get stacked on top of by another person with 1,000 or so people, but it's not like it's not like 100 celebrities are doing it. It's, you know, 5 to 10 could be on at one time, so it's not like a bunch of people. It's not like you're getting pushed down too much. You're just getting like knocked down maybe one or two more tiles than what you already were.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a lot. And with Twitch's lack of discoverability to begin with.
Yeah, I mean that's the main problem still. Like, foremost is there's really not much discoverability, so even it doesn't really matter, because you wouldn't be able to get found anyways. But I mean, they're playing mainly the games that you're already going to be so far down the list, like COD. Like, most NBA and NFL players, all that, they play COD, so you're already going to be way down on 45th page. So they're just gonna, you're not, them coming in isn't really take, you're not going to be affected by it too much.
Yeah, that's true.
I still kind of think that, I remember when we did talk about it before, I still kind of think it should help a little bit. You think there's some people who probably would come enjoy, oh hey, I actually enjoy watching someone play games, this and that, and they'll stick around and branch out and find other streamers. So I think all in all, at the end of the day, celebs and athletes coming to Twitch should hopefully help, because the people that find this new hobby could probably start spreading out.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I was just a random thought I had because I'm still.
Yeah, it's
every
sucks,
day
though.
I'm still in awe of like how many famous people.
Dude, so many
there.
Basketball players took like set gaming and streaming setups down to the bubble. I'm like, come on, man, focus on basketball.
Yeah, you could tell. So another side note, you can tell a lot of the teams that are down there, the ones that aren't fully bought in, because they're sucking. You know, the teams you think that wouldn't suck. You know, you can tell which ones aren't really fully committed to the cause. Our Boston Celtics, I think they're
the
down
best
there.
Team down there right now. Yeah, they're the best team in the playoffs right now.
They're down there. They've got the mindset right. They've got the coaching right. They want it. They're down there for the right reasons. They have a really good chance. They're playing phenomenally. I mean, you beat the 76ers. Ooh, big whoop. They're kind of crappiest team. Yep, like out
they were
there,
kind of decimated by some injuries.
Even without the injuries, they're still kind of a poopy team. Wobbling. They're just, you know. Either way,
fired their coach too today.
I know they did.
Sports ball.
I know a lot. Sports. Not all of you guys are into sports, but you know we dabble in a little bit of both. Quite a bit of both.
Gotham
Knights. So you sent me that trailer last night. I think was it last night. Yeah, it was last night.
No,
Saturday.
Wednesday. No, it was Sunday. Wait, yeah, Saturday. Cause Saturday when I saw it. Yeah, because DC Fandom, which is a 24-hour just live streaming event, happened on Saturday. Yeah, I was gonna watch it too, but I went to my buddy's beach house that day and we're hanging out there, so I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Such a tough life.
Yes, but yeah, DC Fandom happened on that Saturday, and they showed off a bunch of movie trailers and a bunch of games. And actually, I didn't know it was gonna be games. I thought when I heard about DC Fandom, I thought it was kind of gonna be like a TV show movie type of thing. I didn't even think about the gaming side of stuff. So when I hop on Instagram, I see all the stuff from IGN showing all these games coming out. I was just like, oh my god, because they all look insane. They all look so good.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't seen it, I would go check out the Gotham Knights trailer. It looks awesome. I guess they just released, I think it was today or might have been Sunday. This has been like 8 minutes of gameplay as well.
I haven't watched it, but I did see that they released it.
Yeah. You should go check it out because the trailer is sick. I mean, it looks great. It's cool. So essentially, you know, it picks up after the apparent demise of the Caped Crusader, aka Batman, for anyone who doesn't know. And Commissioner Gordon has died also. It features Batgirl, Nightwing, Robin, and Jason Todd as Red Hood. Basically, the Bat family is tasked with protecting Gotham from the Court of Owls.
And I assume other baddies.
Other people would jump
Batman
in there.
Games.
So the funny thing is, and this is what I didn't realize at first until looking into it, is that this game is not actually in the same continuity as the other Arkham games, you know, Arkham Knight, Arkham Asylum, Arkham Origins, City. Arkham City, those four games. This Gotham Knights is not in that continuity, even though it basically picks up exactly in a situation that Arkham Knight set up in the game. You know, basically the Bat family has to step up to save the city or protect the city while Batman's gone. So it's a slightly different, like Batman could be gone in this game. It seems like he's dead, but you know.
I'm assuming the save his ass or something. Cause I rewatched a trailer and it looked like there's this kind of a scene where there's Batgirl and Robin walking what looks like some ancient crypt type thing. And I was thinking maybe a Lazarus pit action going on or something possibly. Like that. So they could bring him back. But yeah, I mean, Arkham Knight, Bruce Wayne gets out as Batman and he goes and what you think is, you know, blows up his estate to make it look like he's dead or whatnot. So you would think that this is going to pick up right from there because the segue is, oh, there's an explosion at Wayne Manor. And that's how this trailer starts. Oh, there's an explosion at Wayne Manor. So to me, I thought it was a continuation. But yeah, they came out and say, no, this is in its own world, which is kind of strange, but
it is considering that the continuation in the Arkham continuity from the original four games is going to be Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which I mean,
I don't know. It is what it is. I don't think that that was probably the smartest route to go. Because
we'll have to see. I mean, maybe Kill the Justice League could just have some insane, I guess, Batman action to it. I don't know. You don't see him in the trailer or anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Kill the Justice League looks kind of goofy and quirky, like the Suicide Squad is, and Arkham or Gotham Knights seem more serious and more in line with Arkham series, which is a great series. I feel like you should pick it up and continue as it was. But I will.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be some shared stuff because it's going to be WB Montreal, I believe, is the people doing Gotham Knights, and they did the Arkham Origins game.
Rocksteady is doing.
Yeah,
Kill Justice League, which they are the one. They are the ones who did the trilogy, right?
Yeah, because Arkham Origins was the fourth one, right? Or did that happen before Arkham Knight? I can't remember. It's been so long.
See, I'm trying to think. I don't even remember. I'm just gonna look real quick.
Yeah, might as well. But either way, so they did Arkham Origins, and so there's going to be some shared assets. Basically, you know, you watch Batgirl play, and she plays very similar to how Batman did in the Arkham Origins game. So obviously, there is going to be a good amount of continuity and a good amount of, not necessarily continuity, but a good amount of things that are similar and things that the player will pick up on really easily. So it's not like you're gonna have to learn a whole new system, things like that. There's gonna be a lot of similarities between the Gotham Knights and the previous Arkham games. It's just not in the same timeline, essentially.
Maybe we could get some, like, you know, some Flash, some multiverse shit going on in games. You know, they're working on it in movies and stuff like that.
I was just gonna say,
bring it to games or bring characters out of games into movies.
Maybe. Because I was just gonna say, based on that multiverse comment, from the movie side of things, Ben Affleck is confirmed coming back in the Flash movie. So you have Ben Affleck's Batman and you have Robert Pattinson's Batman. It's pretty much
confirming a
multiverse.
Yeah, and people think like Keaton is
coming back.
They show a picture, like concept art of it, and in the background, the suit he's wearing is straight up like Keaton's suit. Well, not the black one that Affleck's rocking. So yeah, I think they're definitely looking towards
a multiverse stuff setup
with the Flash movie and like Robert Pattinson. Because in the Robert Pattinson one, I think they're saying that Joker's not in this universe. Like, I don't know if that means like he's not going to be in this movie or if he's not in this universe at all. So then maybe the Joker movie can take that Joker and bring him. I don't know. I think they're definitely going multiverse. So if you do that, you could do anything in movies and in games. You could just.
Yeah.
Altogether.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm pretty stoked for this game because I don't care that it's not the same continuity. I mean, in my mind, it is. You know, I'm just going to go into it like,
to myself, I'm going to tell myself,
continuation.
Oh, we're picking on up from where we left off.
So, like, developers be damned. This is the next game. Like, that's how I'm going to look at it. Because
if it just plays like a quarter of how Arkham games did, I'll have fun. Because
the Arkham games are so much fun.
Great. I'm looking forward to when these games come out because I feel like I can, I don't know if I have any kicking around, but I feel like I can boot up some old Arkham games and they'll probably be popular on Twitch because people will probably be trying to catch up as these come forward, and those games are so much fun.
I remember it was junior year of college. No. Senior year of college.
So 2009 is when Arkham Asylum came out.
Yeah, so senior year of college, I remember being in my apartment. My buddy Tim, like, I can't remember how he got the game, or I think it like was a freebie bundle thing he got.
I think
he
played it.
Yeah, and he was like, "Oh yeah, this is fun." And I was like, "Oh cool, so let me try it." And I booted it up, and man, I was fucking hooked, like instantly. I was like, "This is awesome." So I played Arkham Asylum, you know, straight through, beat it, loved it. When Arkham City came out, put in so much time into that game as well.
Because that stepped up the game, because that was open world. Arkham Asylum was kind of linear. You could deviate a little bit, but it's pretty linear. When then it came City, open world, so much to do.
Yeah, and then obviously Origins was good. I liked it. You know, it didn't have the original Batman voice actor, and it was obviously at the beginning of him becoming Batman. So it was good, but it obviously was a step back as far as like the tech and the stuff that you're used to in the other Arkham games, because he was at the very beginning, which is understandable. It's hard to get used to all those cool gadgets and the cool shit you can do, and then you step back to kind of basic stuff. So, you know, it is what it is, like, whatever. I realize I say that a lot. It is what it is.
I mean, it is what it is.
And then obviously,
the only way to describe it.
I know. And obviously Arkham Knight was like the cherry on top. It was great. A fantastic game.
That was good.
The story was awesome. The gameplay was great. It looked fantastic. It was long. Like, I got to the point where I was like, okay, yeah, this is the end. And then it was like,
nope.
An hour and a half, 2 hours more of gameplay. And that was already after like 60 hours of gameplay.
That's kind of something we haven't really mentioned. You say it looks amazing. These two games, I'm pretty sure they're going to be on the next gen consoles.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
So these things are going to look great. Cause like you said, the Arkham games, all of them, all three of them, I remember for looking amazing.
Given the systems that they were on. So
now we're going to get these on next gen consoles, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to look, because
it's surprising too, because like you wouldn't think WB would be like known as like a high caliber game studio, just because, you know, Warner Brothers, like it's always about movies and stuff like that. But like, you know, the people, and so they're not, granted, Warner Brothers isn't the studio developing the game, but they're the kind of the studio overseeing everything.
Yeah.
You know, they're like the Activision to Rocksteady, Rocksteady's Infinity Ward, for lack of a better example. So it's cool to see that they're able to do it. I mean, because, like, let's be honest, DC kind of struck out with the movies. You know, they were behind Marvel. They tried to bat up to Marvel's level. They did not succeed.
They chucked a Hail Mary.
Yeah, they did.
Come on now.
And I think, you know, so it's nice to see that they did the games really well. So, you know, obviously they're outside of the Injustice games, which are more other DC games. You know, there haven't really been a whole lot of other DC games out there, but the ones they've done, they've killed it. So,
yeah, I mean, they like got two out of three things going so far. Their TV shows, DC,
yeah, the TV shows are really, really good,
and their games are really good. Yeah. I just wish they could bring some of that flair to the big screen too, because they got some great characters.
I'm hoping that I've always preferred DC heroes over Marvel heroes, and
yeah,
the stories in DC are always better. They're gritty, which everyone always throws that around when they're talking about the DC movie universe. They're so gritty, and like, but they are. I mean, they're darker stories. There's generally more loss and like more heartache, more death in the DC stories. The characters, I feel like, are more well-rounded and flushed out. Like, they're more complicated characters in the DC world than in the Marvel world, which I am a huge fan of, because, I mean, you know, outside of Superman, who is just, you know, Superman's pretty cut and dry hero, but I mean,
pretty basic,
you
know, yeah.
Yeah, the other ones, I mean, Batman is a very complicated person, and there's a lot of layers to him, and he's like all the shit he's got going on, and all the different contingency plans he's always got. Like, you know, I don't know.
Like you said, you need a good villain to make a good superhero. And
yeah.
I think that's kind of where I look to it when I'm trying to compare it to, is who has like the better villains to make good stories. And I think definitely DC
does
some of the
best
villains ever.
I mean, Joker is hands down probably the best.
You just say Joker and he's just, you know, head and toe above anyone else really in Marvel.
Yeah. So I'm hoping for good things from this game, because of their track record. And then you know, a little side note outside of the gaming world, I'm hoping for some good stuff from the new movies that are on the slate as well. So
I mean, yeah, keep talking about the Batman trailer looked amazing. I thought that looked great. Robbie P, I think, is gonna kill it.
He does look good. I think he looks good as Batman. I you know what I mean. I a lot of people, you know, a lot of people hate on Robert Pattinson strictly because of Twilight, but they forget he's been in a lot of other good. He's got, a good actor.
Very kind of locked into a niche of, oh, he's the sparkly guy. But ever since then,
he's the guy that shines in the sunlight. Yeah,
ever since he did those, he's gone on to do things that got just raving reviews.
Yeah, so. he's a great actor. He just got dealt a bad hand.
I think you know, knock on wood and everything, salt there, so that I think he's just going to blow this out of the water. This looks amazing.
So. I mean, but there's only so much the actor can do. You have to have a good story, too.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I'm surprised that trailer, how good it looked. They haven't even, like, filmed 25% of the movie, apparently. They still produced that good of a trailer. Like, damn, all right, let's go.
Yeah, so that is hopeful, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for the game, too. So either way, Gotham Knights, if you haven't seen the trailer or the gameplay, go check it out. It does look pretty awesome. So
also, Suicide Squad, Killer Justice League, looked it up too. We don't really talk about that too much, but it looks good. You play as a Suicide Squad, obviously. You get four characters: Harley Quinn, Deadshot, King Shark, Captain Boomerang, and it looks like Earth is just getting invaded and the Justice League have been turned evil, and you get killed.
Yeah. Superman likes murdering people. It's like the Injustice timeline.
Superman vaporizes some pilot and there's, oh shit.
It's about to go down.
Yeah.
So there's that. We'll change gears, change topics a little bit to a game franchise that is hot right now, like it's been for a while. Call of Duty. Call of Duty Cold War, or Black Ops Cold War, has been confirmed. Everyone was speculating that was going to be the title, that it was going to be a Cold War era Black Ops game, and that has been confirmed. The reveal is set for Wednesday the 26th at 1:30 Eastern time. So
mark your calendars.
Mark your calendars. If you're listening to this episode in the morning on Wednesday, make sure to check it out later in the day. And you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, Black Ops games have generally always been kind of head and shoulders above a lot of the other Call of Duty games. So yeah, so Cold War, COD Cold War, reveal is Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. So yeah, if you guys are listening to this episode and it's Wednesday, because that's when you'd be listening to it, make sure you check your calendars or check your calendars. Make sure you just keep that on your mind and you go, you know, you go to check out the reveal at 1:30. So it'll be interesting to see what they bring to the table as far, you know, I'm pretty confident that the story is going to be good, but I'm pretty sure the story will be good. I'm interested to see what the story is going to be like. I'm interested to see what the
bands have been pretty good.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see how the multiplayer is going to play. Cause I mean, let's be honest, like Warzone's good and great. I mean, it can be a lot of fun. It can be really annoying as well. But the multiplayer for Modern Warfare started off really good. You know, I thought it was one of the better ones in recent years, but man, it's kind of gotten crap. I mean,
well, I think they probably just realize how insane Warzone is doing, so they focus their attention on that.
I mean, all the new maps that they've released though have been shit. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
they've been pretty.
Obviously, there's Rust and Shipment and Shoot House. I think Shoot House and Shipment are the last two good maps that were made. And Shoot House was a new map and Shipment was a remake. So I mean, you can't really give them credit for Shipment.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly would say I was called to be Black Ops. I would say focus on multiplayer and just give me something amazing to blow my mind. Now, I'm just saying this from a standpoint of I'm getting kind of burnt out Warzone. Yes, it's fun, but most of the time it's just like, oh, yay, woo, I got destroyed, yay. I'm just really kind of getting fed up with Battle Royale's Warzone-esque. I'm saying just give me the fucking best multiplayer I ever had in my life and make me want to only play that.
Yeah.
It's a tall honestly, task, but
it is a tall task. Like, as much as I kind of feel your sorrow for the whole Battle Royale thing, like, it's like golf. You know, you can shoot snowmen on 17 out of your 18 holes and you hit one good drive on the 18th hole and you're like, I'm back, baby. And so,
yeah, but it's been like 72 holes since I've had it, and I'm back, baby. And I feel
it has been tough. I agree with you. And They could fix this whole fucking problem if they took away skill-based matchmaking. And apparently, yeah,
if they just kind of
Cold
made
War
it.
Is going to use same similar skill-based matchmaking that currently is in effect.
Yeah, so I guess what's happening? Are they making their own battle royale, or are they just going to incorporate their own shit into Warzone?
So that's what I'm interested to see as well. Is from everything that I've heard and everything that I've read, they're basically, you know, Activision has told them to share assets to incorporate. So we've talked about it in the past. Like, it would be the dumbest idea to release another battle royale to split the player base when you already have Warzone that's doing like massive numbers. So they're going to find a way to basically incorporate the Cold War stuff into the current Warzone. Whether, you know, my guess is it's probably a new map. You'll have basically the Verdansk option, okay, and then the Cold War map option.
For both games. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah. But the other thing too is weapons. You know, I would like to see all weapons available on either map. You know what I mean? Like, you know, basically you load into Warzone, which, let me finish this thought before I bring that other thing up. So basically you load into Warzone and you have all the guns available to use, you know, stuff from Modern Warfare 2019. And then also you have guns from what they're going to do in Cold War.
For like your loadout class.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. For your loadout class, you have all those guns available.
The ground loot.
Yeah. And obviously, yeah, the ground loot should be mixed up too. So it's like, I think that would be a smart way to go. My thought I had as I was saying that thought was, I almost feel like they're going to have to force everyone to download Warzone separately. You know what I mean? Because how is Warzone going to run when you launch it through Modern Warfare? You know what I mean? Like, right now we go to Modern Warfare, we go to Warzone, we run it through that. Like, I almost feel like they're going to make everyone who's got it on Modern Warfare download the standalone Warzone. Because otherwise they would be having to patch the standalone Warzone, Modern Warfare, and Black Ops all at the same time in order to bring all of those things onto the same tier. So
you think they'll like pull it out of like that main menu?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you get closer, they'll probably make that announcement saying like, hey, you know, I know it's an inconvenience, but because we're trying to keep everything together and give you the best of Modern Warfare and the best of Black Ops, you're going to have to download the Warzone standalone app.
This is going to be so weird, though, if they do bring in all the guns from Cold War. That's going to be so many options. There's definitely...
That's not a bad thing.
No, but I feel like it's going to be... There's going to be some overlap of... I mean, I guess you could make every gun individual and be useful. It'd be interesting to see. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. That's the one thing that's kind of plaguing Warzone right now, is that one thing becomes top shit, and that's about all you see. So,
well, and the ground loot. The ground loot this season is the worst by far. It's, you know, with the ground loot coupled with
more games, more guns.
The ground loot coupled with the Bruin nerfs has made everything you find on the ground like absolutely useless. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with the battle royale side of things. You know, obviously the story, the campaign, I say story, but it's not really the campaign, and the multiplayer side of things. Those are important at the beginning, but those always seem to fade, or they're going to fade with Warzone still in the forefront. So I think a lot of people are waiting to see what they're going to do with Warzone. And I don't know when we're going to get those announcements. We know that everything's going to be incorporated into one, unless Treyarch just comes out of left field and is like, hey, motherfuckers, Blackout version 2.
I mean, I know I saw a lot of people talking about that's going to be a crossover and like this and that, but I think today I saw the first video of it, like actual crossing over where it shows like a little spy plane kind of flying away from the camera, and then the massive plane flying at you that you see when you drop into Warzone came. So that's kind of the first thing I saw of their promo stuff, including things from Warzone. So obviously working on something together.
Yeah.
It would be kind of diabolical if they showed that and just came out with their own thing, but
I thought they might have, because
a lot of people, you see a lot of news articles talking about Black Ops 4's or Blackout, like a lot of stuff like surfacing about Blackout articles and this and that, so I thought they might be trying to bring that back to life somehow, some way.
Well, and I think they're still going to call it Blackout. You know, whatever I think they incorporate it into the Warzone UI, the Warzone app, or whatever the hell you want to call it, whatever Warzone becomes, like whatever type of container Warzone becomes, you know, I think Blackout's still going to be used in some way, shape, or form. You know, because a lot of people liked Blackout more than Warzone. I personally didn't. You know, I like the attachment setup for PUBG, but I just, for as fast as Call of Duty Battle Royale games are, I think the attachment setup was too clunky and it was kind of a pain in the ass. And I was not a huge fan of the armor scenario in Blackout, like level 3 vested person. Like, I mean, that was
ding 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 I feel like I didn't. I never gave Blackout its fair shake, because whenever we did play it, it was on console, because that's what Sean was on. That's where our friends were. So instead of playing duos, me and you, I'd much rather, you know, we have a full squad going on. That's when we were balls deep into PC. I mean, we still are, but PC gaming. So I was very accustomed to my PC setup and mouse and keyboard. So going back to on my 360 or Xbox One.
I was going to say, using, that long ago.
Going to my Xbox One, use my controller, worse graphics, this and that.
Yeah.
I didn't really give it a fair shake.
That's
whereas
true.
Now I can.
And we couldn't convince Nick to get Blackout for some reason. And now he's like balls deep into.
Did we try to get him to get it?
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned it to him and he's like, nope, never getting it. Never F-COD. And now he's like balls deep.
No, he's just like the wizard of COD. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like I didn't give it its fair shake. I wish I gave it more opportunity on the PC, which is what we were really into at that point in time. So
yeah,
I feel like a lot of people say they really liked it. And I just, I'm like, I don't know. I never really gave it its fair opportunity. And I kind of wish I did.
Yeah, it's true.
I have it on a PC. I should just boot it up and
I do too. I mean,
see what's going on.
That's the problem though. It's not crossplay, and I think the PC, the PC player base died like pretty aggressively. Yeah,
that happens a lot on most COD games except for Warzone.
Yeah,
because so
it's usually they're usually console games. Like that's where COD maintains most
that's
of its dominance.
Thrives.
Yeah. I don't know. Cold War. We'll see. We'll see what it's about. We'll get a reveal on Wednesday.
Questions and all the promo stuff just has me scratching my head.
Yeah,
of course.
I'm interested to see what they're going to do on multiple fronts. So yeah, I guess, you know, we'll have to wait for all that information.
Yeah.
Because you boys don't have any inside track.
So yeah, all the things we've been saying up to this point of, you know, what's going to happen in the, like when Warzone first dropped and it was saying like gangbusters, I'm like, all right, what's going to happen in a year when the next game comes out? So
yeah,
we're getting our answers coming real soon.
So, I mean, I think, one thing that we didn't have on the list that I actually realized that, God, what the fuck, that we should talk about is the Halo Infinite. Delayed.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that too. Actually,
I thought about putting that on there, but I forgot. I mean, it's.
Well, now my question, I guess, did we ever get a reason why it got delayed? Is it because of like coronavirus issues, or did they realize all the people laughing in their faces about the graphics? Like, shit, we got to pull this back then.
I don't think they blamed it on Corona. And
canceled, maybe delayed until what's this one article says delayed until 2022. People
Holy
will
shit.
Riot.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Halo
dev reportedly considering dropping Xbox One further delay to 2022. Wait. Oh my God.
Wow. I did not see that. I think, you know, I don't think they've said one way or the other why they're delaying it. you know, the graphics could be a contributing factor, because a lot of people fucking lost their shit when the trailer went out, because like it didn't look good. I mean, there's no other way to really look at it. I mean, or put it. I mean, it just didn't look good. It's interesting.
Oh wait, hold on. The 2022 is for the Xbox One version, not the Series X. The Series X is still 2021.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah.
So it's. I mean. It's another. I feel like it's a nail in the Series X coffin. I mean,
but they are convinced they need to make the best Halo game ever. Oh my! Yeah, this is just. I mean,
AKA, they thought Sony the graphics would be passable for a preview, and they weren't passable, and people freaked out.
Sony is just sitting there licking their chops. Just hiring the parade. The band, the party they're gonna throw when PS5 continually kicks Xbox Series X in the wiener, because the game, like, it seemed like Xbox or Microsoft, whatever you want to say, was kind of hanging their hat on was gonna be Halo, and now this it's gonna be delayed. So yep. Now what else you got? We even with Halo, we kept saying, Fable's okay,
still 2021, like that was never gonna be a launch game. So
they're gonna have to do something, because this Halo was definitely the game that they're going to launch with
this Hellblade 2
console that people were that's what was going to be the drawing force.
Yeah.
And now they got Hellblade.
I don't know. Just
freaking stop the duck boats for Sony, man. They're going to win this thing easily.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean, that's when I saw that, I was like, holy shit. You know, my first thought was, yeah, graphics. I mean, it is really, you know, based on the information we'd had previous to that, there was nothing else wrong, or not wrong, but there was no other delays in development. There was no slowdowns anywhere. There was no hitches, you know, in designing the world or getting everything out there. You know, they were like, yeah, we, you know, Halo Infinite, let's do it. And
yeah, it only came out after they gave... They're showing what the game is. Yeah, all of a sudden, next thing you hear is, oh, we're delayed. After it's just meme and meme and meme on memes.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. If we get any more info, obviously we'll talk about it. I mean, we're both big Halo fans, so it'll be there for sure. So we're going to finish off the episode talking about this massive phenomenon that has swept the gaming world. And if you can't figure out what it is, then you're dumb. I mean, what? No, I'm just kidding. Fall Guys, man. Fall Guys has came in like a tsunami, and it's just everywhere. It's everywhere. And rightfully so. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
Started off on just the worst foot for me, because I saw it was all fun and I wanted to play it. And when I first downloaded it, is when they had that massive server issue.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to get in. So I bought two Fridays ago and I sat there for a few hours. I think I only got two games in because the servers were just keep saying, oh, you can't connect. So I almost just said, get it out of here, because I couldn't even do the game. Here. But the only reason I couldn't get in, I assume, is because everyone was learning about it, and they were just getting swamped with players, so they couldn't handle it.
I always wonder how games, like small games, like new games like this, I always wonder how they blow up. Like, did the developer send, you know, big streamers, big influencers, like previous versions or early releases to be like, hey, you know, this is coming out in a week, try this out, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying and to... Then, think of like who was the first kind of big person to
I don't playing it. Remember either. I wasn't really tracking it, because next thing you know, I was just like, everyone was fucking playing. I was like, what the fuck is Fall Guys?
Legit went from 0 to 100, just you can see here and there. I'm trying to think when the first time I saw it. Then it's just everyone, their mother, is playing the game.
But I mean, yeah, for anyone, I mean, if you don't know what this game is, potentially living under a rock, but either way, it's essentially a party game. You know, it's this generation's Mario Party, more or less.
It's like Mario Party Battle Royale, because it's technically you are against 60 people online, and it's the last one standing.
Yeah, that's true. It is super fun to play. It's super chill. Like, they're playing, you know, all the big streamers are playing it with all their friends. It provides for a lot of laughs, a lot of good times. I mean, it could be great drinking like a Friday night, Saturday night game.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's crazy how fun it is. I mean, and I think Baggy and Darth were talking about it on GG Weekly podcast. If you haven't checked those guys out, we were on their podcast, you know, a month or 2 months ago. Go check them out. But they were talking about how, you know, if you could add like private servers in and stuff like that, it would be like the most epic community game night out there. Which is true. You know, if they could get private servers, you know, all these large gaming communities, you could get together, have one massive like gaming night, community night, and this would be the perfect game for that. You got to think that they have that in the back of their mind.
For sure. I mean, I don't know like how small they are for a company.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, I will say like their servers were, the issues that they had on Friday were, it was for a long ass time where even smaller companies I've heard about would have them fixed kind of fast, but they were down for a long time. So I kind of think they're pretty small, but yeah, they definitely probably have it in their playbook. They just don't have the resources or whatnot to execute yet, because it did just kind of erupt from nothing. So you can assume they probably didn't think much was going to happen, and now they're here at the tippy top. And
they're only halfway up.
Yeah, they're only halfway up. Think about it. And they're probably just drowning in thoughts and ideas of what to do or how to execute things. Like, they might not have prepared for this much success.
No. And it blew up like crazy. And it taught us something. It taught us one very important lesson.
You can be famous for being shit at a game.
Tim the Tapman is the worst
statistically
party style games. Like, he is so bad at this game. It is comical. I mean, to be fair, he was getting grief like crazy in so many of his games, like before he got his first actual crown. I put quotes in it because everyone was claiming that Nate Shot. Yeah, everyone was claiming that Nate Shot through said that Tim would get it. So so that's why I put quotes around it. But yeah, he's just so bad at the game.
Yeah, like, so makes for people, the another reason why this game blew up is because Tim the Tatman, big famous streamer, just struggled to get a win. Like, just days on days of just failing
and hours of this game.
And hey, spectacular Fall Guys Twitter, because they took their shot. The whole thing because they just started roasting Tim.
They roasted the shit out of him.
It just grew. I remember the first scene, like the first tweet of them roasting him. I'm like, that's funny. Yeah, I watched him. He did suck ass. And it just blew up into this cultural just week to 2 week phenomenon where I feel like everyone was watching this thing. I mean, ESPN was even writing articles about Tim and this many games in, no wins, blah blah blah.
So he had like a game counter, like you know, like one of those 10 days since last incident style counter, but it was like 7 days since, you know, still no win. So
I think the highest I saw him as was like 350,000 people.
Yeah.
And that's just saying that's how many they were there watching, because they knew he was the guy who sucked ass at Fall Guys.
It's like, oh, this is that guy that sucks at this game.
But like you said, I will give him credit. I have never seen, I've watched him play Overwatch, Fortnite, PUBG, Call of Duty. I've watched him play so many. I have never seen so much griefing in any game. I get grabbed by one person throughout 10 games and I flip my shit. He was getting grabbed by 10-15 people every single game. I would be losing my mind too, because you try to jump, it's just everyone's there just holding on to you, throwing you off and this and that.
There are so many glorious clips that have come from this Fall Guys situation him.
He gets so mad.
I saw one like I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but like, because there's been so many out there, they're just like so fucking funny. Like, he's just smacking his desk, like yelling and screaming, like, no, like,
back me the fuck out. I'm not going out like
so,
that.
He's so funny. I mean, but even like, it's just everyone was on it. I mean, everyone still is, you know, there's a lot of people that will still play it when they're done with their main games. Yeah. But there was Tim sucking at it. There was Doc playing it, thinking he was actually playing it, but he was already out and he was spectating. Did you see that clip?
I didn't see that.
So he's playing, yeah, and he's like moving the controller. You can kind of see his, like, in his head, he's like, you can kind of, well, you can't see his eyes, obviously. Yeah. So you can kind of tell in his facial expression that he's like sort of putting two and two together, and you kind of see him like pull the controller up, and he's like hitting the buttons like for jumping something. His character, and he goes, "Oh, I'm spectating." just like instantly X's out of the game. Like, oh, it was so funny. Like, there's, he didn't realize
about a game for 12-year-olds and seeing adult men fail at it is just hilarious.
And pro game, you know, professional video gamers, you know, like,
we raised a big question though. Do you think Tim was throwing it all in the midst of it because he saw the fame, like he saw the numbers increase? So he's like, okay, I gotta keep milking this for a little bit. Because there was one specific game I watched when he's on Hexagon, and I don't know what this man was thinking because he made the most idiotic moves and fell like five floors. He had this would have been his first one. He had it locked up and he just jumped to nowhere and just fell all the way down in. Like, okay, maybe he's trying to milk this.
I don't know. I mean, possibly, but at the same time, you know,
rage speaks for itself, and
the rage speaks for itself.
That,
and
that
then,
was a beaten man.
Yeah, that was a beaten and defeated man. So yeah, the rage speaks for itself. And then honestly, you know, there's one thing I've learned while he's been playing Fall Guys, you know, because there's a lot of time to talk with chat and stuff like that. You know, he's not the brightest bulb in the bunch. So, no. And he'll admit that himself.
I don't know if he's smart enough to figure out how to draw something out.
Yeah, and so I'm just like, oh man, but I love him. It's so much fun to, it was so much fun to watch him. He just, fucking rage. Because, like, it's funny to see him rage while playing it because I want to play Fall Guys to quell my rage from Call of Duty. Like, I want to get the guys, like the boys to play.
Yeah.
Because it's a nice, like, de-stressor from all the fucking shit that you get piled on with
exactly
Call of Duty.
Well, I was saying to myself, kind of like, how is he getting so? It must be kind of the griefers would probably make you mad too. But I always thought to myself, well, how is he so mad at this game? Yes, it sucks to lose, but it's just whatever. I lost. Move
yeah,
on.
I mean,
but
you get into another game like instantly. Yeah,
he's over there acting like he's getting, you know, hacked and stuff. Yeah, I thought the same thing too. That
and
he
actual
got
hackers
very worked
like
up.
Why hack in this game?
Yeah, if anyone's listening, like, and you hack in Fall Guys, you have no life. Like, it's a party game for children, and you're out there, yeah, look at all the crowns I got.
Yeah, like,
no one gives a shit,
bud. Who cares? I did see a clip today, actually, and there was a hacker in the lobby, and then they went into the egg chase game, or the egg collection game. I forget what it's called. Essentially, like Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Egg Scramble,
yeah. And the guy, the cheater, was on the red team, and 90% of the red team was actively throwing.
So what you gotta do?
I mean, and that's...
Gotta send a message.
That lets you know that they're still good in the hearts of gamers
out there.
Yeah, so, I mean, because...
band together and say, F this guy.
I mean, and so obviously there's all this fun that's wrapped up in Fall Guys, but there's also that tweet that went out about a week ago, and it was like a TikToker basically calling out a player for just trying so hard and like sweating, and he's like, why
the video doesn't even look like he's trying that, he's just sitting there
you can kind of tell he is, but at the same time it doesn't take a lot to try hard at the game, but like, it does raise an interesting question. I know we just had a good little spree of like fun games and jokes, but you know, here comes Frosty with some some hard questions. You know, it does raise an interesting thought. Like, can you not enjoy games anymore? Like, there's so many, with the explosion of Twitch, with the explosion of YouTube, not necessarily YouTube as a whole, but like the explosion of like video game content on YouTube, and like the fact that like saying I'm a YouTuber as a profession has now become like mainstream and pretty well accepted, and you make a decent amount of money doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, there are so many people out there striving to hit that level, that pro level, that, you know, professional streamer, full-time content creator level, that they're out sweating so hard in all these games to basically get clips to show how good they are, be the best. And it's something I've kind of said a lot with Call of Duty, and it's like, you can't really play Call of Duty, especially Warzone, you know, with skill-based matchmaking on top of it. You can't really play Warzone for fun. Like, you can't drop in with the guys on like a Friday night and just chill and have a good time, because everyone is taking the game so seriously.
Yeah.
And I get it. I don't like losing. I don't. You know, I'm a horrible loser. I've been a horrible loser my whole life. I am the kid that when he was losing in Monopoly, I would turn the board over. I know you can admit to, you know, you can attest to that, because I have done it in the past. I am a horrible, horrible loser. But at the same time, like, I realize, like, we're playing video games. Video games have always been for fun to me. You know, we're older-ish. You know, we're in the generation that, you know, we say it all the time. We were in that generation that, you know, the parents were like, oh, you'll never, video games will never amount to anything. So, like,
yeah, don't try.
We always played them for fun, never with the thought of going pro. And so, even though, yes, I want to win a lot, I still just want to have fun, like, with the guys. Especially now during the whole COVID pandemic, like, it is a good way to stay connected with your friends, and it's a good way to have fun with your friends. But there are so many sweats and so many tryhards in Warzone, especially, that just, you just, can you have fun playing that game anymore? Like, buckling down.
Yeah. I think it's like kind of a little bit of combo of what you're talking about, of people trying to make it big with gaming and streaming, so they just will try their hardest. And then also with COVID going on, a lot of people are either maybe at work or at school or just at home in general, so they have more time to grind the game, just get nuts at it. So you're seeing a lot more players online that are just insane. But I agree. It's, you can't really sit back and enjoy a game, because I think you will, more times than not, you'll run into a lobby where someone's in there trying to, you know, prove they're the best or trying to get these insane clips, and they're trying super hard. I have always thought to myself, oh, it's always fun to, you know, sit down, COD, crack a couple beers and hang out with the guys. But every now and then I think to myself, well, can I have a few beers? I gotta be at my top physical condition, because if I'm a little tipsy, I might not be able to hit that shot, because I gotta focus up, because everyone else is gonna be nuts. So you can't really just sit and chill and have fun. I always think to myself, everyone out there is cracked, and I got to try my hardest, which I don't want to every single game. I want to just kind of hang back and enjoy as much as I can. But I don't think you really can.
And like a game lately, like Fall Guys comes out, you know, no one really expects there to be a pro scene or like a competitive scene at all.
Get cracked at Fall Guys. But like, yes, there's maneuvers and jumps and this and that you might know, but I guess, hey, it's early. Maybe down the road we will see these people.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
learning.
Like, you don't
all
these think
insane maneuvers, like they sit there watching 5 hours of YouTube video, so they know all the secret jumps or that, because they want to become insane. So yeah, if that happens, that'll be sad, because this game is wicked fun and goofy to play, because no one out there is just absolutely nuts on any team. It's just everyone's hanging out, having some fun. If it does turn into that, I'll be very disappointed, because the game won't be zero fun. You've got all these people doing all these dumb little jumps and hops and shit like that.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. Like, you know, you sit here now and you're like, there's no way there's gonna be a pro scene or any competitive Fall Guys.
Well,
scene.
There's a Twitch Rivals Fall Guys that's happening sometime soon. So that's
part of the problem.
You get money for playing it.
Yep. And so I just, it's like, I see where a lot of, cause like there were so many people in that comments on the Twitter thread of, you know, what, you know, you want to lose when you play games. And it's like,
to not just be laser focused on every, like, just, yeah.
And it's, but it's the, those people, it's those hardos that are like, what, you want to lose when you play? And it's like, no, like that's not what we're saying. But the fact of the matter is, you got to look at a game for what it is. Fall Guys is a game to jump in and have fun. Who the fuck cares? how you place where you place. You know, unless mm-hmm. you're Tim and you play for a week straight, you don't win anything. Yes, you should care a lot about winning at that point. But you know, if you're going in just to have fun, like with your, it's a game to have fun in. It's not a game to sweat in. And so I do see where like that TikTok or that video is coming from. Like, I mean, why is it necessary to try that hard? Is it necessary to try to be the best at that game? Because all you really do is you make it less fun for others. I think there's so many people sweating like that, it makes it less fun for everyone else. So
yeah, you're just out there dominating, I guess, and
yeah,
you know, just have no chance. So yeah, we'll see. I would agree with everything. It can get too competitive and you just loses the fun. So yeah. hopefully it doesn't turn into anything like that. You just get people out there with free agents in their name. Oh, free agent fall guy player here, dude.
Yeah. Oh God. What's your favorite game in Fall Guys?
To me, I'm going straight up. Fall Mountain is a blast because this is coming from a kid who used to love the show Guts back in the day. I love me some Crag Mountain, yep, or whatever the hell it's called. Just
super mega aggro, yeah, Crag.
Just race to the top and hit whatever at the top and be the king. So the Fall Mountain reminds me of Astro Crag. Just run to the top, getting that crown, being, yep, the king. So I think true. Fall Mountain is a blast. Love it. Good time. But yeah, Fall Mountain.
I would say I like the, what is it?
Called Whirligig.
Yeah, Whirligig, I think. Or Whirligate. Whirligate, I think it is.
I think gig. Gig.
Either way, it's the course. It's a race. It's got all the different fans. It's got the one big fan that you have to jump through in the middle. If you haven't seen our Twitter or Instagram page, I actually made a clip of myself just getting absolutely dominated by that fan. And I posted it. It was like, oh, this, you know, it was on Friday. I was like, oh, this week's been tough, you know, or this has been an accurate description of my week. Cause it was just getting, I just fell just right. And I just kept getting smacked by the fan over and over again. And I just think through watching it, it's fun to race. It's a fun race. And then through watching it, I feel like it's got the most potential for hilarious events. Cause there's so many fans, there's all the different spinning, platforms you got to jump on, like you just get smacked around like crazy. Like that's half of the, dude, that's what makes this game so much fun.
It's just all the shit going on,
crazy like random things you can get into. Because like I watched a clip of some guy who was like so close to winning winning one of the races, and then he gets like smacked once, flies back, gets smacked again, and next thing you know, he hit everything just right. He was like back at like the halfway point of the map, and he's just like, are you kidding me?
There's like that small section where you can just like,
yeah,
get destroyed. I think our fears are coming through true. I just typed in Whirligig Fall Guys. I didn't even put like tips or tricks at the end, yep, of it. Everything is just Fall Guys ultimate knockout, zero death fall run, Whirligig middle ramp, teach easy first place articles, win the Fall Guys Whirligig stage with these tips, Fall Guys how to win at the Whirligig, Fall Guys Whirligig gimmicks and guide, Fall Guys guide how to win any round and all the game types. I didn't even type anything in about tips and tricks. I just wanted to look at the Whirligig and Fall Guys.
Why?
And every single thing is about being the best and winning this and that.
Fucking A, man. Hopefully we don't have to put this in the bin of games we can't play because it's filled with tryhards, because I really hate that. If
you are like that sweaty and or that bad that you need to look up a guide on how to win in a children's party game, then just uninstall the game.
So yeah, well, here's hoping, right? I think that's gonna pretty much do it for us tonight. You know, that was pretty much everything we wanted to talk about. We hope you guys have all stuck around. Everyone who stuck around has enjoyed the episode. For everyone who's listening on your favorite podcast app, thanks for the support. Thanks for being here with us. We really appreciate everyone who's being a part of our community. Really shameless. Well, it's not really shameless. It's our stuff. We do have merch now. I got this from Stream Elements Store. It's a little disheartening because it is broken if you can't see, but it's a pretty cool, I designed the little everything ourselves. It's pretty cool. We have it in mugs. We have shirts, sweatshirts. Hey, like
Some people are going to say it's too early.
Yeah, there's a command.
Some people are going to say it's too early, and yeah, you're probably right. It is too early.
It's just so easy to set up.
Take it easy, Harry.
Drag and drop.
Yeah, it is super easy to set up. It's free for us. You know, it doesn't cost us anything. So it's like, why not? Like, I had that design. It was cool. So if you guys are interested at all, merch is there if you want it. By all means, do not worry about getting it. Like I said, it's just something I figured we'd set up. So it is there. It is an option. If you really like us that much and you want to get some merch, we appreciate the hell out of you. So, I mean, but other than that, thank you for watching. Thanks for listening. You know, I say it at the end of every episode. If you guys enjoy what we're doing, like, subscribe to all of our social medias, our Twitch, our YouTube. Check out our recent YouTube video if you want to know some more about the PKM. There's that. But also reviewing our podcast on Podchaser, sharing it with some friends, some family members. All of that stuff helps us out a lot. Not everyone has to come and watch the live streams. Listening to the episodes is perfectly fine as well. We appreciate really anything that gets done as far as interacting with us. So yeah, whatever, you know, however it gets done, you know, sharing it, liking it, telling some family members about it, telling some friends about it, leaving us a rating or review on either Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, all of that stuff is just, you know, over the moon. Happy about any of those things. So we really do appreciate everyone that's kind of sticking around with us through this journey. We love doing it. We're having a great time, and you know, it's just an added bonus that we have people to share it with. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Our socials on the show, at @W_key_podcast for Twitter and Instagram, and our Twitch, which obviously some people are watching right now,
could be here right now,
and our YouTube actually as well is at @W_key_podcast. So there's that covers a lot of things. Like I said, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube. We have a Facebook group. It's just W Key Podcast. We have a page. You can go there and check us out. My personal Twitter is J_FR05TY. Don't do a ton on it. So, I mean, I'd suggest looking at the show's Twitter page and stuff like that. Matt, why don't you hit them with your socials and then we'll wrap this bitch up.
We got Technique, TECKNEEK on Twitter, Technique TV on Instagram, and we do stream Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern time at twitch.tv/technique, so you can come say hi then if you'd like.
Perfect. Again, everyone, thank you for sticking around. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for interacting with us. Yeah, I mean, that's... there's nothing more I can say than that. Thank you for everything. You guys are the best. We really appreciate everything. Always remember, you can't spell win without W.